Let us pray. O gracious and holy God, give us wisdom to perceive you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I don't know if many of you are familiar with this whole concept of life coaching. You can get a life coach, I guess, on the internet. And it began with a fellow named Thomas Leonard, who was an American financial planner. And he brought forth this concept in the 1980s. And it was, of course, related to sports coaching, music coaching, and how advantageous it can be for all people in all walks of life and occupation to have the support of a coach who wants to, you know, bring them to their full potential. The powerful process of coaching enables inspiration, and inspiration can ignite change. And the principles involved in coaching are applicable in any community, motivating, inspiring, and in the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, to love one another. Now, the word coach has an interesting history. It began in a little Hungarian town called Kocs, K-O-C-S. I don't speak Hungarian, so anyhow. They developed a vehicle that was so sleek and compact and elegant and sturdy that it went across Europe in the 15th and 16th century. And there are stories told that that the name of this town, the English used to put a name to this vehicle. They called it a coach. And the British aristocracy, of course, as one does, if one is British and aristocrat, they would take their servants and they would drive around the countryside in these coaches during their business, whatever the business was. And then private tutors might come along to assist and to read to the children, who would then be coached in their studies driving on those bumpy country roads. So we develop this sense of coaching, which is someone who helps others by virtue of their broader expertise and experience over bumpy roads and rough patches in life. That's what a coach does. Helps people improve by showing ways to excel. Jesus was and is the ultimate life coach. He spent 3 years choosing, teaching, inspiring, pastoring, and mentoring his team. And like any good coach, as the guy who coaches the Canucks, he knew there would be setbacks, disappointments, failures, successes, but he also knew that there would be incredible growth and transformation. Simple fishermen, suspect government officials, and a murderer of Christians would become the driving force behind the religious and spiritual movement that we are celebrating today. Last week, we explored the nature of God as the Apostle John understood it. God is love. Now, Paul offers further insight into this claim, God is love, by providing the attributes of God as love. And you can find this in 1 Corinthians 13. The characteristics of God's love are patience, kindness, mercy, faithfulness, loving justice, and endurance. And we are able to accept and receive God's unconditional love without having to do a thing. We don't have to clean up good or you know, when company comes, we just tip before we come into his presence. For God accepts us just where we're at and loves us so much that he won't leave us there. And furthermore, there is no sin, absolutely no sin, that is bigger than God's mercy. Someone told me the other day that we all might be surprised when we get to heaven and there'll be Hitler there. So let's just think about that one. Furthermore, God made the choice to love us in spite of all that we do to thwart his love. God loves us for who we are, his creatures, his sons and daughters, his masterpiece. We are the Rembrandts in God's eyes. And we are created to be Christ's containers of God's love. We are to pour this love into others, and we are blessed to be a blessing. And John repeats the same commandment Jesus gives his disciples in the gospel reading today, for he was present when he heard the coach's command. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The ultimate coach demands his followers to love one another. And then he goes on to explain why this is, because we are to love one another, because he has made known to you everything that I have heard from the Father. Jesus didn't hold anything back. He shared the message. We are to love one another so we can go and what? Bear fruit. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, fruit that will last, so the Father will give us whatever we ask in his name. And it is evidence that we are loving one another when all people will know that we are his disciples, for we love one another. Everyone's going to know what team we play on, what goal we're striving towards, and how we're going to get there. And we have all the equipment a player could ever need: power of the Holy Spirit, and a friend who cheers us on as we finish the race that is set before us. And Jesus has called us friends. You notice he doesn't call us strangers or servants. Jesus has called us friends. How awesome is that? That we are friends with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty Father, the Prince of Peace. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power and love and self-control. 2 Timothy. So what does loving look like in our families, our communities, our workplaces, our churches, and our world? Well, scripture gives us many examples. And Paul often used the metaphor clothing. We got to put on certain bits of clothing, certain characteristics. And he writes in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, here we go, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. And over all these virtues, Paul writes, which binds them together in perfect unity, is love. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us is not a suggestion. It's not with your mind. It's a commandment. And he doesn't tell us this to spoil our fun or make us roll our eyes and say, oh my gosh, not another thing I have to do. He tells us this so that God's joy may be in us and that our joy may be complete. God wants us to be people of joy. He wants us to be filled with joy, not just happiness, which we all know is affected by people and circumstances, but he wants us to experience joy. In Galatians 5:22, the list of the fruit of the Spirit, joy, follows love. I don't think that's a coincidence. I have found in my own experience that when I make a choice to really love someone, to see goodness in him or her, not when they're not what they present on the outside, I do experience joy. And, you know, I had an experience with someone in a parish of mine who we had a very tenuous relationship for 3 or 4 years. Anyhow, they phoned me one day and said, could they come in and talk? And I went, oh my gosh, and my stomach started churning. I'm like, oh gosh, what do they want? Anyhow, I had someone pray over me. Well, they came in, and we had this incredible discussion. And I said, this is what I believe and whatever. And at the end of it, at the end of this talk, I don't remember what it was that was the problem with them. And it just grew and grew and grew. And they're just absolutely the most wonderful people. That took a lot of time for me to kind of get that. I was so grateful that the Lord gave me an opportunity to really learn what it's love to love somebody, not not what they present on the outside, but, you know, God never looked at somebody that he didn't love. So we can make the choice to think before we speak, to become more sensitive to others, to see Christ in all we need. And then God works, remember, pours his love into us, works through us, and we can love others. And we not only become Christ containers, we are Christ containers, but we become Christ coaches. We begin little by little, inch by inch, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And Nehemiah writes, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. As we grow in love for others, even those we find difficult and annoying, is there anybody in your life that you find difficult and annoying? I'm going to raise my hand. Get your hands up there. I know you're out there. Someone we may not agree with in the particular case with this person. We can learn to love them and have an attitude of gratitude. We become people who are thankful, and that opens the door for God to pour more of his peace and joy into our hearts, which enables us to put on love. Put on love like clothing. And you don't have to worry about your weight with spiritual clothing, okay? Because it all fits. And God doesn't ask us to sit on another committee or develop a new program or begin a capital campaign. Of course, we can do those things, and goodness, we need those things done. But the real choice he's asking us to make is to love one another. To clothe ourselves with love leads to peace between individuals, countries, family members. And Paul writes, don't just pretend to love one another. Really love them. I think this is from the Message. Hold tightly to what is good. Love one another with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Because genuine love does require concentration and effort. It means helping others to become better. I love that modern expression, to our better angels. And sometimes it may mean faking until we make it. It means being a coach for Christ, because God's way involves loving to love. Don't you love to love? Who would love to hate? We love to love. We love and honor people because they have been created in God's image, just like you and me. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and because every person has a unique contribution to make in the kingdom of the Lord. Love can be expressed in many different ways, but one factor is always the same. Love gives. As coaches give of themselves to their players, and as Christ gives himself for us, let us covenant that we will learn continually all the time to love others as he has loved us and become coaches for Christ. And we have the example of the greatest coach that ever loved. Christianity does not begin with what we can do for God, but it begins and ends with what God does for us. See, that takes the emphasis off that small me. God gave out of love so that we could have all the love, joy, and peace that comes from believing. And when we walk in love, I read the other day, Satan has a nervous breakdown. I love that. And that's a good thing. And love is the greatest gift we can give to the world. Our families, our enemies, our children, our spouse, our co-workers, our partners, our church family, and ourselves. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Lord, you love the world so much that you gave your only child, Jesus Christ. Our life as believers is not about what we can do for you, but what you have done for us and continue to do. You fill us with your love, and every day you pour your unfailing blessing and love upon us. You are our inheritance, our cup of blessing. Help us to treasure the variety created among us. Help us to appreciate and respect the differences among your people, as well as to understand our oneness as your people. Give us the wisdom to know how to treat all persons, not as the same, but as individuals, and each one a worthwhile creation. Help us to walk in love, to pray in love, to speak in love, and to be in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.